What if you could be doing something smarter with your money that creates income now? If you're wanting to get ahead financially and enjoy greater freedom of choice, if you want a comfortable retirement and you know you'll have more choices if you can do more with your money now. If you've wondered who else is creating ways to make their money work for them, and you want actionable ideas with honest pros and cons and no fluff, welcome to the Richer Geek Podcast. We're here helping people find creative ways to build wealth and financial freedom. I'm Mike Stoller, and in this podcast, you'll hear from others who are already doing these things and learn how you can too. Hey, everybody, the Richer Geek is coming back to you, and we are proud to introduce the Land Geek. We have had this guy on before. He's the preeminent person as far as selling raw undeveloped land. His name is Mark Podolsky. He is considered the country's most trusted and foremost authority on buying, selling that raw undeveloped land. And today we're going to discuss his journey into the world of why he does it, why he sells it, why he leases it, and why raw land compared to other types of land. He's been doing this. I mean, my gosh, he's got 5,000 unique transitions over 20 years. And he has a company, Frontier Equity Properties, which is an A-plus rated BBB real estate company. How you doing, Mark?
Michael Stoller. So good to see you again, brother.
Absolutely. You know, it's land always intrigues me because, you know, I've had some other type of land people, and some of them do entitlements, some of them do other different things, and some sell, you know, the land, some sell it and put the services in, some develop it. Talk to us a little bit, number one, in case, you know, people don't remember your podcast from before. Give us a little bit of a history about your background.
Sure. So if we rewind the tape to 2000, I was a miserable, micromanaged, 45-minute commute to work and back investment banker, specializing in mergers and acquisitions with private equity groups. And Mike, it got so bad for me. I wouldn't get the Sunday blues, anticipating Monday coming around. I'd get the Friday blues, anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday. So my firm hires this guy, and he's telling me that as a side hustle, he's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar. He's flipping it online, and he's making a 300% return on his money. And I'm looking at companies all day long. And a great company, great, has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow. Average company is 10%. And I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So of course, I don't believe him. So I've got $3,000 saved up for car repairs. I go to New Mexico with him. I do exactly what he tells me to do. I buy 10 half-acre parcels, an average price of $300 each. I flip them online, and they all sell for an average price of $1,200 each. 300%, it worked. So I took all that money and went to another auction. And this is in Arizona, which is where I live. And again, it's 2000. There's no one in the room. And I'm buying lots and acreage for like nothing. And I made over $90,000 just on selling all that land at that, from that auction. So I go to my wife, and she's pregnant at the time. I said, honey, I'm going to quit my job and become a full-time land investor. And she said, absolutely not. So I said, okay. So it took 18 months for land investing income to exceed the investment banking income. And then I quit, and I've been doing it full-time ever since. I'm actually up to now over 6,000 transactions since the last time we spoke. And it's, the land market is still booming. It's just a great time to be a land investor.
Yeah. And everybody, if you want to also go back and gather some of his knowledge, look at episode 87. That's how far back we were. And I think I'm into the one, almost, I don't know, 150 or something like that. I don't even know what this one is. But, you know, so you take the land and you're a flipper. You know, do you ever hold, or is it, this is something that as soon as you buy it, or even before you buy it, you're already looking for the new buyer?
There are times where if I buy something in the path of growth, that I want to hold it. And usually I put that into the trust with instructions to the kids, do not sell this land until you get a seven-figure offer from a developer. But otherwise, I'd say 99% of the land I buy is meant to make it cash flow. And, you know, we talked about this in the, I'm sure our first podcast, but, you know, just as a refresher, you know, there's a way to make land cash flow and we don't have to deal with any of the headaches that a typical landlord has to deal with a renter and rehabs, renovations and rodents.
Yeah, it's, don't even get me started. Like my stomach churns every time I hear tenants.
Yeah.
And back in the day when I was a landlord, that's why I got into the hotels. I'm like going, all my people, they're just there one night and get out, you know, maybe two. But so talk to us a little bit about that cash flow process, because most people think that, well, you're buying this land and it does nothing. It's just empty. All you do is pay taxes if you can't sell it. And there is no cash flow. So what do you mean that there's actual cash flow and, you know, outside of just maybe just flipping it?
Yeah. So Mike, if we use you as a case study, I'll just kind of walk the listeners through the model. So where do you live?
Scottsdale.
You're in Scottsdale. You're in my backyard.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, well, I'll assume that you own 5 acres of raw land in Denver, in like Colorado. Okay. Probably not Denver, but let's say rural Colorado.
Okay.
And you owe $200 in back taxes on that property. So you're really advertising two important things. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to that raw land. You're in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the property's in Colorado. And number two, you're financially distressed in some weird way. Because when we don't pay for things like our property taxes, we don't value them in the same way. As a result, the county treasurer keeps sending you notices saying, Mike, if you don't pay your property taxes, you're going to lose that property to a tax deed or a tax lien investor. Mm-hmm. So all I'm going to do is look at the comparable sales on your 5 acre parcel for the last 12 to 18 months. I'm going to take the lowest comparable sale. Let's say it's $10,000 and divide by four. And that would get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. So I'll send you an actual offer of $2,500. Now you accept it. Why? Because for you, $2,500 is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. In reality, 3 to 5% of people will accept my quote unquote top dollar offer, and it, which is still a very high percentage. So you can imagine for every 100 offers, I'm getting 3 to 5 returned as accepted.
Yeah.
And so then we have to go through due diligence or in-depth research to confirm, number one, you still own the property. Right. Number two, that the back taxes are only $200. There's been no breaks in the chain of title, no liens or encumbrances. So I have this large property checklist that I have my team take care of in Jamaica. So we outsource the due diligence to our team. It costs about $11. And they're connected to an American Title company. And they get me all the information that I'm going to want as far as the title work is concerned. But they're also going to do the research as far as making my marketing package. So I'm going to get aerial maps and plat maps and satellite maps and just the whole lay of the land, the GPS coordinates for my next buyer. So if we assume everything checks out, I'm going to buy that property for $2,500, but I'm going to flip it and I'm going to sell it in 30 days or less. And I'm going to make a cash flow. So all I'm going to ask for is a $2,500 down payment. And then I'll make it a car payment, let's say $249 a month at 9% interest for the next 84 months. So the pricing is irresistible. I make it a car payment. I get my money out on the down payment. And now I'm getting $249 a month at 9% interest for the next 84 months without having to deal with any renters, rehabs, renovations, or roads. And because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act, all this owner's real estate legislation. So it's a simple game. Can we create enough passive income with these land notes where it exceeds our fixed expenses? And now we're working because we want to, not because we have to.
Yeah, that's very smart. And, you know, if they stop paying, you do it again with the same land. You just take it back.
Yeah. I mean, we use a land contract. So there's no cost or foreclosure. So if they stop paying, which is great. So they just lowered our cost basis. So now instead of my cost basis being $2,500, maybe it's $1,500 and I resell it again at the same price and quickly get my capital recovery and extend out my ROI.
Yeah. And that's fantastic. You never want to take advantage of hardships, but man, I love it when I get things back. I'm like, oh, I get to do it all over again, you know, and, you know, another down payment and get another, you know, percentage, and maybe the interest rate's a little bit higher this time. And hey, I'll do it as many times as someone lets me. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can be flexible with market conditions.
Yeah.
So maybe the market's hotter and you can raise your price. Maybe it's cooled down. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. But my cost basis is lower. So it's not going to be, you know, too much angst to lower the price.
Yeah. Yeah. That's extremely smart. I didn't even think about doing that. You know, we do that with the rent to owns and the lease to owns and things like that with single family, but I don't have to, you don't have to go in and put another $10,000 to fix what they destroyed when you take it back. What's one of the things you really have to worry about that you've seen when buying land? Is it water rights or is it the ownership chain? What are some of the cautionary tales that you can tell us?
You know, in my niche, there's very few cautionary tales simply because we're avoiding areas that have what I would call a Superfund site. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that have environmental issues where if you buy it, then you're liable for millions of dollars worth of cleanup. Now you can go to a website like epa.gov, avoid Superfund sites. But when we're buying, we're looking at the Southwest, mm-hmm. a little bit in the Midwest, right? But we're avoiding like a, you know, industrial areas in the Midwest, more rural areas, California and Florida, a little bit in the Northwest. So these are areas that have a tremendous amount of inexpensive, raw, rural land. Mm-hmm. And it's untouched. And so if, to me, given that niche, I think the biggest risk is simply overpaying. And then part of that overpaying is not doing your due diligence and checking back taxes or checking if there's in a properties owner association or are there any liens with that. And so if you just do some basic due diligence, it's really hard to get burned in the land business.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things you're here in Arizona also that I was thinking, wow, I that's something you have to worry about with land is our governor just came up and said, you can't build any more homes because right. Maybe the water, you know, so you have to really look at, okay, you know, what county is that? You know, is that something, I don't know if you're still buying here in Arizona or not, but that's just another thing that all of a sudden you have to worry about is the state's different regulations that they just impose.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in the areas that I buy, I'm going to avoid, you know, the bigger cities. Mm-hmm. They're going to have those restrictions. But, you know, say in a rural county in Arizona, it might be, you know, very expensive to dig a well. And it might not be worth it. And so in those situations, you would have to just bring in water and have a water storage tank. And for people that are using it recreationally, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Or, you know, you sell it to some ranchers and just have free range or something like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I've never been stuck with a piece of raw land. They all sell.
Yeah. See, what, you know, God's not making any more of it, right? So it's,
yeah.
You know, and that's a great thing about land. What are some of the other ways that you can invest in raw land?
So some other ways to invest in raw land is as far as, you know, you can be creative with it. So for example, you can buy a piece of raw land and you could do say a partnership with someone who's a tiny home, manufacturer, or perhaps you want to do something like a hip camp, which would be like an Airbnb for camping. you could certainly create something on your land. Perhaps you could, you know, make a like a motor cross track or a paintball type of thing. So there's all different types of ways to monetize raw land. And it just depends on you and your level of involvement in it. I'm ambitiously lazy. So really, I've got this business, you know, 95% automated with software, inexpensive virtual assistants. And in that way, I just make it as simple as possible.
Yeah. And well, yeah, that's me. I mean, I'd rather golf, you know, I don't want to do anything. I want to hire people, have the software, and then I come in once a month and, you know, and talk. Talked a little bit about automation and things like that. And we talked about that in our previous podcast. Anything new, any other type of automation that's out there that you're using
to help you out? I'm still using my two basic core tools, which is lgpass.com and geekpay.io. And you can check it out, the landgeek.com/resources, those two tools. Those are my two main tools. I would say as far as operating day to day, you know, Airtable is pretty cool. Zapier again is, you know, really great. I think that as far as marketing, if you're not using ChatGPT, you're working way too hard. So I would say that those are some pretty cool tools. Follow Up Boss is also a nice tool as well for following up with your prospects.
Oh, there you go. See, there's a software for everything, and it's just crazy. Yeah. Pretty soon that we're not going to need employees. We just kind of have some bot do it, and it's.
You know, it could be. I mean, I've heard Kevin Kelly say, oh, you know, AI is like an intern right now. You wouldn't want to ship their work and you're just going to have people work with the AI. They're going to become more productive. I hope he's right. I hope it doesn't evolve to the point where the human being isn't needed. But you could be right. I mean, I could see it, especially for some jobs.
With some jobs, yeah, because it... ChatGPT and we're a long way away from that. And there's been some case studies where people have just said that they were an expert. They had ChatGPT or one of those AIs write something, and a fourth of it didn't even exist. The AI just made stuff up.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is it doesn't say I don't know.
That's just crazy. So where do you find buyers? Before we get into what you do and things like that, you know, let's just kind of dig into where do you find the land and how do you find it? And then do you just have a database? If someone's starting out, then how do you all of a sudden put it on the market?
Yeah. So I'm going to make it really easy and break it down. So the way that we look for a good market is we look for a good market because there's other land investors there. So I might go to a site like landsofamerica.com or landmodo.com or landandfarm.com and start looking at where are people buying raw land. And just, well, if Mike Stoller can buy land there, why can't I? And so think about it like a fishing trip. So there's 10 boats. They're on one side of the lake and they're all catching fish. And then on the other side of the lake, there's two boats. They're not catching any fish. And you think, oh, well, I'll go to where there's less competition. I'll go where there's only two boats and start fishing. But they're not catching anything. They're in the wrong area. So I'd rather be the 11th boat and get my fair share of the fish.
That's interesting because you get the different perspectives. People are like, well, no, you need to find the up and coming.
Right.
Where you're sitting there, it's like, nope, let's just get in what's already hot. And it's kind of like you're here in Arizona. It's like one of my hotels is in Casa Grande.
Yeah.
So man, if I'd have bought all that land down in Casa Grande 10 years ago and held on to it, you know, and have, because it's going to be South Phoenix here pretty soon. So yeah, I think that's kind of one of those where back in 2016, 2017, people weren't even kind of looking at that area. So what do you think about that? Is like, do you just go, well, now Casa Grande's hot, and I'm using this, everyone, right, this is a
right,
a place in Arizona that's up and coming. Are you now saying,
I think a professional investor like you, who's sophisticated, mm-hmm, that's a viable strategy. Mm-hmm. So when I'm looking at markets, I might be looking for something up and coming, because then I can test it. I have the capital to test, yeah, it. And if I lose, okay, it's not going to be the end of the world. But for someone who's just starting out, you want to know definitively, this is a good market and I can get deals. And then once you start getting some confidence and your reps under your belt and some passive income going, sure, branch out, and you can certainly experiment in different markets.
Now, how do you find your buyer?
So the buyer, we're going to do marketing, because let's face it, nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, boy, I'd like some raw land today. So you're going to have to do different marketing channels. My number one marketing channel is the neighbor. Hmm. So think about it. They already own land out there. Mm-hmm. And so I could set out a neighbor letter saying, hey, here's your opportunity. Protect your privacy, protect your views, know your neighbor. Now, if the neighbors pass, I might go to like my buyer's list, which would be another great, easy resource. But if you don't have a buyer's list, then start looking at big platforms. Something like a Craigslist. It's the 15th most trafficked website in the United States. And it's free to list. Or you could go to the Facebook buy sell groups in the marketplace. You can then go to places like landmoto.com or landandfarm.com or landsofamerica.com, landflip.com, landhub.com, landcentury.com. Wow. These are platforms where people buy and sell raw land. And so just by getting on those platforms, you're going to get leads, and then you'll engage with them, and you'll make it irresistible with your pricing. So they should sell fairly quickly.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, you're naming off all these, and I'm like going, wow. I mean, that's not LoopNet.
You know, yeah, yeah. You know,
the ones that we're LoopNet. All used to. Yeah. So you know, everybody, go back, rewind 10 seconds, write all those websites down. So let's talk about the Land Geek, and everyone, again, it's Mark Podolsky. It's thelandgeek.com. Talk to us a little bit about what you do on your website.
Yeah. So the Land Geek is different in the sense that, like, I've been buying and selling raw land forever. And really, it's been very good to my family and me. Mm-hmm. And I love it. But no one who's ever bought a piece of raw land from me has ever said to me, Mark, you changed my life with this raw land purchase. They liked it, right? But it was not life-changing. And so for me, to help people solve not just their money problems, but their time problems, by teaching them how to create a passive income where it exceeds their fixed expenses, and then they can work when they want, where they want, with whom they want, and become totally free, that has been the most gratifying thing that I've done professionally, where the Land Geek, I really think that I can, I mean, I've done it where, you know, people retire their spouse, they get out of a job they hate, they replace their income. And once they are able to solve not just their time problems, their money problems, they can move up Maslow's hierarchy of needs, mm-hmm, into self-actualization and really discover their greatest purpose in life. And so for me, that's my calling, is helping people do that.
So you're educating people on thelandgeek.com. And what is in the Land Geek? Are the lesson summaries, or are you going through different courses? You know, what, when someone signs up and says, you know, I'm looking at thelandgeek.com right now, it says start here, learn with us, your podcast. What type of learning experience is on there?
Yeah, so there is a do-it-yourself learning experience of videos. There is a done-with-you learning experience, which is Flight School. And then there is one-on-one coaching for people that really want to get to that professional level of land investing. And then for accredited investors, there is the easy button. There is done for you.
There you go. And talk to us a little bit about that. I'm an accredited investor. I'm like going, I still have a W-2, and I'm like going, I don't have time for this stuff. But
yeah, I mean, you know, I can't publicly talk about it.
Okay.
But you can certainly, if you're an accredited investor, you can certainly reach out to me and I'll walk you through that model.
There you go. And for everyone, what that means is he has something out there, whether it's funds, syndications, or helping with that. All right, Mark, you know, let's get into, you know, I've been on your site. You have all this plethora of information, all these resources for everyone. Walk us through when someone goes into or onto your website, what are they looking at and how can they kind of navigate through your tools?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if they go to thelandgeek.com, it's a really great place to just start, because they could opt in to our free wholetailing course, How to Double Your Money, 30 Days or Less. They can look at training options and just book a call and see which one is going to be best for them, considering their capital and their time. And I actually have a link here. It's not on the website, to get our book for free, Dirt Rich. And you know, I say it's free, you got to pay for the shipping, but the book is free. And to do that as well. So I think those are all really good places to start, because you want to make sure that the business really resonates with you. Mm-hmm. And just because I love it doesn't mean you'll love it. And so I think that's really the whole purpose of the website, is give you as much information as you can digest without feeling overwhelmed. And you can say, this resonates with me or it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And let's kind of recap how someone can work with you on the different ways that they can either invest or learn. You know, there's different aspects. And let's kind of recap about, you know, concerning what it is, what kind of value add, and how they can not just learn, but also kind of invest and you know, with you. And talk to us a little bit about what it is you do on that side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to help everyone along the economic spectrum, mm-hmm. everybody. Solve their, not just their money problems, but also their time problems. So if you have more time than money, you can go, and I would start with like our do-it-yourself course or free course, right? And then you've got the time to just put it together. If you've got more money than time, but you don't have a ton of money, let's say you've got a job and an income you want to replace, and you've got some resources to shortcut it or smart cut it, then you might want to look at talking to our team about flight school. Mm-hmm. And if you are an accredited investor and you've got way more money mm-hmm. than time, then you want to just talk with me directly and, you know, email me mark@thelandgeek.com and use the subject line, you know, done for you. Mm-hmm. And you have to be an accredited investor. You know, you and I can, we can discuss it.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody, that's a great way. If you do have money, I know a lot of our listeners, you make a lot of money, but you work a lot of hours. You want to get into this. And that is the best way. Let the expert, let Mark do the work for you. Learn how he does it while you're being a limited partner. And, you know, that's how a lot of future general partners got their start, is learning from a mentor and someone like Mark. Mark, it has been a pleasure. Now, how can people find you outside of thelandgeek.com?
So I'm really googly. If you just Google The Land Geek or Mark Podolsky, you'll find me everywhere.
And also, ladies and gentlemen, he's on LinkedIn. That's where we're connected. Mark, it's been a pleasure. And it's always a pleasure to have you on, you know, however many times, because we just learned so much more about the different types of investing in land. Everyone just thought, just like, well, I just buy land and it just sits there and nothing happens. And it's a little more involved in that. And I appreciate the insight and the knowledge. Have a wonderful Absolutely. Evening.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Richer Geek Podcast, where we're helping others find creative ways to build wealth and financial freedom. For today's show notes, including all the links and resources from our show and more information about our guests, visit us at www.therichergeek.com/podcast. And don't forget to jump over to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts and hit the subscribe button. Share with others who could benefit from listening. And leave a rating and review to get the podcast in front of more eyes. I appreciate you, and thanks for listening.